text from Brother Corey. Said they had to work today, so to remember them in prayer. Him and his family, Sister Crystal and Sister Leah. And let's also remember Brother Anthony in special prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning. Lord, thou knowest all things. Lord, I pray, Lord, for Brother Corey and Sister Crystal, Sister Leah, they had to work, Lord. And Father, I pray, dear God, that you'll be with them, Lord, at work, Lord. And they said they would be here hopefully next Sunday, dear God. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with them, Lord, while they listen to the service, Lord, later. And I pray, Lord God, for Brother Anthony, Lord, thou knowest the need there, dear God, and what needs to transpire, Lord. And we ask, God, that you would just go to him now, Father, and minister to him, your angels, Lord. We ask, Lord, for your guidance in this service, Lord, and by the Holy Ghost, Lord, we take control of every spirit in this building, Lord. Lord, we ask, God, that you will anoint us, dear God, with your power and with your spirit to speak the word this morning, that you laid on our hearts, dear God, to be able to be a help to the people. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me while you're standing your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. We want to continue speaking on hid behind badger skins. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. The message of the unveiling of God, Brother Branham says, now notice the old veil that hid the glory, the old badger skins. There was no beauty to be desired of it, neither was in his flesh. He didn't look like a king, the old badger skin. Oh, but what was on the inside? And a little bunch of holy rollers setting together in a hot building like this, they call them not much beauty to be desired, but what's on the inside? I'm sure it's veiled from many hearts, you see. All right, outwardly it's nothing, but all was what was on the inside. Amen. You may be seated. While you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25, and I want to begin reading verse 10. And what we're going to read here is about the Ark of the Testimony. This is what was behind the veil of badger skins. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof. 2 rings shall be at the one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves in the rings by the sides of the ark, and the ark shall be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into it the ark, into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make two cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat. And make one cherub on one end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat shalt thou make the cherubs, cherubims on the two ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in the commandment unto the children of Israel. Amen. So, everything that God did when it came to the tabernacle in the wilderness, everything had a representation of something. And every part of it was, there was a reason that God did it that way. It wasn't just a haphazard throw together thing. And so there was a reason that he had the most holy place, the veil to be badger skin. The veil for the outer court and the veil for the inner court, they were of curtains and of material, and they had certain colors and so on, but badger skin. And we said last Sunday that the badgers, they're a cantankerous animal. They have a scent gland, very much it says like a skunk. They just can't spray as far as a skunk, so they stink. And but God chose this to veil this Ark of the Testimony that we just read about. And we read about how beautiful actually this Ark of the Testimony actually was made to be. It was overlaid with gold within and without. And the staves were overlaid with gold, and the rings that held the staves were made of pure gold, and the mercy seat was made of gold, and the cherubims were made of gold, and this was a very beautiful thing. And within inside that was the testimony which God had given, which was all of this represented the Word of God. And so we see that the beauty wasn't what was on the outside, because on the outside was badger skins, which there's no beauty in that. And but what the beauty was, what was on the inside. And the scripture we read in Isaiah talks about the flesh of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham called it his badger skin, that there was no beauty of that outside flesh that anyone should desire him when they saw him. But the beauty was what was on the inside of that flesh, which was the Word, which was God himself. And when people see you, they don't see any beauty. They see this flesh, which is full of mistakes, which is full of faults, which is full of failures. But the beauty is what's on the inside, which is the Holy Spirit, which is God himself. Amen. Amen. Pardon me. A woman one time said to Brother Branham, said Jesus was not divine. Said, I can prove to you he was a man, he was not divine. Said, when he came to the grave of Lazarus, the Bible said Jesus wept. And she said, because of that, it showed he wasn't divine. Brother Branham said, well, of course he was a man. And when he came to the tomb of Lazarus, well, as a man, he cried. But he said, God looked through those tears. God saw through those tears. And he said, when he spoke and said, Lazarus, come forth, and there was a man that had been laying there dead 4 days in the grave. And everyone knows that after day 3, corruption sets in. And he said, but when he said, Lazarus come forth, said, that was more than a man. That was the God that was in the man speaking and crying out and saying to a dead man that was already corruption set in, come forth, and brought him back to life and said, corruption knew its master. And he came forth out of corruption, and when they unwrapped him, he wasn't corrupt. There was no corruption there. He came from beyond corruption back through. And Brother Adam said, we don't know where he was. You don't know where he was for 4 days, but he was somewhere in eternity. But God called him back out of eternity and brought him forth from the grave. Said, yes, he was a man when he wept, but he was God when he spoke and said, Lazarus, come forth. He was a man when he came down off the mountain and was hungry, but he was God in a man when he fed a multitude of 5,000 with loaves and fishes. Amen. 2 loaves and 5 fish. He fed a multitude. That was God. When he laid in the back of the ship asleep and tired from preaching, that was a man. But when he stood forth on that ship and spoke to that storm and said, peace, be still, and the storm obeyed him, that was God that lived in the man. He was a man when he cried for mercy on the cross. But when he arose 3 days later and came back, that was more than a man. Amen. Brother Ram says in the unveiling of God, he says, now the Jews could not understand how God could have mercy upon a sinful, foul people like we are. But that's because they couldn't see this one who was given mercy because he was hid. He was behind the mercy seat on the inside, behind the badger skin hanging down, covering him. God has always been hid by a veil. God veiled himself in a body when he came down and walked in the Garden of Eden and talked to Adam and to Eve. God veiled himself in a body when he came down and he spoke to Abraham, and he sat there and he ate and he drank. He was veiled in a body when he spoke, and he said, why did Sarah laugh when she was in a tent behind him? But it was God veiled. It was God veiled in a man when he went down there to Egypt to deliver Israel out of bondage. It was God veiled in Moses. As a matter of fact, God said, you be God and let Aaron be your prophet. It was God always veiling himself in his prophets down through the ages. God has always been behind a veil. And when he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, he led them out a pillar of fire, amen, in the night, in a cloud by day. And he was veiled in this pillar of fire. And then when he instructed Moses how to build the tabernacle and how to build the three courts, and then behind the badger skin which veiled the holies of holies, they placed this beautiful Ark of the Testimony. And the pillar of fire went down inside there and hid itself from the people. But Moses could go behind that veil, and God spoke to him, and he spoke to the people. God has always been veiled. He veiled himself in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And that's why that the priests and many of the Jews, they couldn't see who it was. They couldn't recognize him because they were looking at that veil, which the Bible said there was no beauty in it. There was nothing there that would cry out and say, I'm God. There was nothing, when they looked at Jesus Christ, there was nothing about him that said, I'm God. Everything they saw was a man. He aged. He got tired. He got hungry. He felt weakness. He said, I feel virtue has went from me. Amen. Pardon me. Little dry this morning. But it was God veiled inside there. In the unveiling of God, he continues and he says, he was veiled by badger skin. He was veiled in a man. Notice, same yesterday, today, and forever. Promised in his word to this age. He's still Christ, the promised word to this age. Veiled in human flesh. Notice, the veil in human flesh, the promised word to this age, must also be veiled. Notice, the sin-loving church members and sinners can't see it because of the human veil. Sin-loving church members. See how he says that? So just going to church didn't make them something. They were sin-loving. But church members couldn't see God, Christ, inside of you. They aren't going to look at you, at your flesh and your faults and your mistakes and your failures and say, oh yeah, I know that person's got the Holy Ghost. Because they can't see past the human veil. He goes on and he says here, deity veiled in human flesh. The prophets was deity. Notice the veil behind the old badger skin, behind the old tabernacle and the veil. What was back there? It was Jehovah. What was hid back there? What was the veil hiding? It was hiding the word. The veil, the old badger skins, was hiding the word to their eyes natural. All the glory of God was right behind the old badger skins, hid to the natural eye. It is today too. They're called a bunch of holy rollers and fanatics, but they don't see what's hid back there. They don't know it. Same now, the glory, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory that comes upon the believer. Now I mean a real believer that causes the works of God and the faith come into him to believe the word of God that's hid from their eyes. He veils himself, the Bible says, in earthen vessels. Vessels of clay. Not he isn't veiled in vessels of beauty. He's veiled behind badger skin. The badger skin represents humanity. The badger skin represents your human flesh, which there's no beauty in it. It's you're full of mistakes. You're full of faults. You're full of failures. Anyone looks at you, they see many times, they see all your faults and failures. They're quick to bring, well, I thought you were a Christian. How many times have you ever heard that? Brother Branham said, it's to keep them from seeing Jehovah. The outside looks like a bunch of holy rollers, old badger skin, but the inside hides the Shekinah glory, which is the Holy Spirit. And identified Christ of all ages, he said, when a man breaks through that veil into the Shekinah glory, now the world calls him a fanatic, see? There's no beauty of him. He might not pronounce his words right. He might not dress right. He might not dress in clergy clothes. She might not dress the way they think she ought to. It might be, but you see, inside, behind that old badger skin, behind that human skin, in there is the Shekinah glory. In there is the power. In there is the word. In there is the shewbread. The Shekinah glory, which is the light that makes the light that ripens the grain. When you look in the mirror, you don't see anything beautiful that would look and you say, oh, yep, that's God. We look many times, friends, and what we see is what everybody else sees. We see our flesh. We see our faults, our failures, our mistakes. We see our weakness. We see how weak we are. We see how human we are. And the devil is quick to remind you of any mistakes you make or any faults you have. The devil's quick to remind you that. He's quick to point at your flesh. When people are looking for some proof or evidence that they have the Holy Spirit, you've got to look beyond your flesh.
Amen.
You've got to look beyond your spirit.
Amen.
Because neither one of those seems to reflect God.
Amen. That's good.
This flesh, friends, is not a reflection of God. It's dying. It gets old. It suffers. It feels pain. It feels sickness. This flesh is a reflection of sin. This flesh is a reflection of death,
right,
which was brought about because of sin.
Right.
In the day you eat thereof, that day you shall die.
Yes.
And this is a reflection of that, what the flesh we're living in.
Amen.
So don't look at your flesh. Don't look at your spirit realm, because realize that your spirit realm, that's your mind. That's where your mind's at. That's the battleground that Satan chose to fight in.
Yes.
Brother Branham says it in the greatest battle ever fought.
Yep.
In your spirit realm, there's five gates. Memory, conscience, reasoning, and affections. I always forget one. Imagination. The devil can work in all five of those gates. He can block off in your gate of memory all the sin you ever committed, all the bad things you ever done. Bring it back to your remembrance. He does it all the time. The devil stirs around sometimes in your dreams, in your subconscious. You ever had a dream of doing something you had done before? And you wake up and you feel so terrible? That's the devil stirring around in there. Reminding you, bringing to your remembrance. Where's he at? He's in that gate of your memory, in your spirit realm. So my point in all this, I don't want to get too much into that, but my point in all this is you can't look to your spirit realm to find an evidence of whether you have the Holy Ghost or not.
Amen.
You've got to look beyond that. You've got to look into the holies of holies, the most holy place, which is your soul. You've got to look in your soul to find the evidence that God is there. Brother Branham says this in The Mighty God Unveiled Before Us. He said, the badger skins, even the people couldn't see it because of skin that held it. The glory of God was behind the skin, and now the glory of God's behind your skin. What's on the inside of the skin back there, the old badger skin? There was no beauty, we should desire it. And when it was made flesh and dwelt among us, there was no beauty we should desire it. And now the same thing is today. There's nothing in a man or a woman that can be desired. It's what's behind there. You say, that fella, I know he used to be a drunkard. He used to do this. I don't care what he used to do. What's hid behind that skin? What is it behind there that counts? The people is blinded. The skin blinds the people. They say, I remember when that woman used to do this. I know what she used to do. But what about now? Them skins, it was once badger skins, but now it's hiding the glory of God. It's got a house behind it. It was on animal skins, but now what's housing the glory of God? And so it's your skin. It's housing the glory of God. So not only can somebody else remember everything maybe you've done and point, oh, I remember how they were. Brother Bram says, how about how are they now? See, there's been, like the song says, there's been a change in me. I'm not the man I used to be. Amen. I don't go to the places I used to go. I don't do the things I used to do. There's been a change in me. Friends, that is your proof. That is your evidence. The change that has took place in your soul. Brother Branham says, he was talking about a man that would have the Holy Ghost. And he says that if he saw a woman all stripped off, said the Holy Ghost would turn his head. Why would the Holy Ghost need to turn his head? Because it's flesh. The flesh will look. But the Holy Ghost that's on the inside will turn the head. See, there's a need for the turn of the head because it's flesh. It's flesh that represents sin, as I said. Brother Branham said that he always had a cross hanging in his car. That if he saw a woman all stripped down walking down the street, he would turn and look at the cross. Now that was the prophet of God. But he was inside the same stinking badger skin that you are. Listen to what he says here in the Mighty God Unveiled before us. He said, when Solomon dedicated the temple of the Lord, there was still those badger skins hanging there. So in all the, and I mentioned this last Sunday, in all the beauty that we could describe the temple that Solomon built, according to the specifications that David had laid down, all the beauty that was in that. But they still brought the old badger skins and hung them up there as the entrance to the most holy place. Brother Branham says, and then the pillar of fire went down in behind there and veiled himself. But by faith, Israel knew he was back there. They knew he was there regardless of what any of the heathen worlds had to say. He was hid from the unbeliever, but the believer by faith knew he was back there. Listen, friends, they couldn't see him. All they saw was those veils. But they knew by faith, is what Brother Adam said, that God had hid himself in the temple back behind that veil. And it's by faith that you know that God is hid inside this veil. you stand on faith is the substance, friends. You say, how can I stand? How can I just stand by faith? I'm not talking about hope.
Right.
You say, how do you have faith that he's back there? Because, as I said, there's been a change in me.
Amen.
I know the old guy I used to be. I know all the old things I used to do. I know this flesh would still desire those things. But what's on the inside of here has no desire for that anymore. You say, how do you know that flesh? Because the flesh can see something or have something brought back to its memory, and it can remember what something felt like or what something tasted like or these things. But inside that soul, it's got no desire for that. It's got no desire to go back to that. A lot of people get confused because they struggle with their flesh. You're always going to have a battle with this flesh. You're always going to have a battle in your spirit realm, because that's the realm Satan chose to fight this greatest battle ever fought. Think about that. Brother Branham titled that, "The Greatest Battle Ever Fought." The greatest battle ever fought that's being fought is being fought inside of you, in your spirit realm. And you've got to battle against that. You've got to battle against what the flesh wants. Friends, the flesh likes feeling. The flesh likes taste. But you've got to battle against that. We're always, until we receive the body change, we're in a constant war within ourselves. The Bible tells us that during the time of the millennium, that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And we know by what the prophet taught us, he's bound by a chain of circumstances. Not, Brother Branham says, not a logging chain. In other words, he's not bound physically. He's bound spiritually. But why is he bound? Because you've received a body change. The body that you'll be in then is not a reflection of sin. It's a reflection of the resurrection. Because you'll go back to being a young person again. So it's a reflection of the resurrection. It's a reflection of life. And that song we sing, "One Day I'm Going to Step Into My Theophany," that's that second realm that you'll have. When you leave here by the way of the grave, your soul steps into the theophany. It leaves this flesh behind.
Right.
That human spirit dies. But the soul is what lives. And it's the soul that steps into that theophany. And so then the Bible says they without us are not made perfect. Why are they not perfect? Because at that time there are only two realms, soul and theophany. They don't have that outer covering. So because they're in the theophany when they leave here by the way of the grave, they don't need to eat. They don't need to sleep. They don't know day from night. It's a constant, endless fellowship. It's a constant, endless reunion.
But then the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a twinkling of the eye, the Bible says. They come back to receive their glorified body, that outer realm, to where they are a Trinity again, a triune being again. And we take on our theophany. And then this flesh is changed. What changed this flesh? What made this flesh to where it began to get old? What changed the serpent? How was the serpent changed? You know, we know that he wasn't a snake. Many depictions of the serpent is of a big snake. We know that the church world believes the serpent in the book of Genesis was a snake. They don't have any trouble believing that a snake could talk. But they have trouble believing that he had a different form. I always find that quite humorous, that they could believe that a snake could talk, but they just can't quite believe he had a different form. If you can believe the one, why can't you believe the other? But the Bible said that God cursed him. Now, friends, if he was a snake to begin with, it wouldn't have been much of a curse for him to say, upon thy belly thou shalt crawl, and dust shall thou eat the rest of your days. The snake would have been like, I already do that. No, he was in the form, the closest thing to man. Brother Branham said, there's your missing link. So when God cursed him, he went from that form into become a form like we know a snake today. What changed? His molecular structure. The structure of his molecules. Friends, that's easy to believe. If you believe that God could come down and take 16 elements of the earth, dust as the Bible calls it, and make a body for Adam to come down into, then you can believe that right there on the spot when God cursed the serpent, his molecules began to change and he went from standing upright to crawling on his belly. Well, also because of sin, the molecules of the human body got knocked out of alignment. And that's why it began to die. And by die, I mean it began to get old. And the Bible says, in the day you eat thereof. And the Bible also tells us that one day with God is 1,000 years. And we know that Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived. He lived the longest, and he never made it to 1,000 years. So man has never lived one day in the eyes of God. No man. That's what the millennium's all about. That's why the millennium is so precise in the Bible to be called 1,000 years. Because it's man that's going to live for 1,000 years without sin. Hallelujah. Sin's what caused our molecular structure to change. So when the dead in Christ rise, then the molecular structure of what used to be their body that's turned to dust, all of that will change and come into a glorified body. And our human flesh, the molecule structure will change. And it and will be changed, the Bible says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That quick. Quicker than you can snap your finger. Quicker than you can blink your eye. It's changed. And then you're in a perfect body. That's why Satan will be bound. He won't be able to affect you. He won't be able to bring disease on you. He won't be able to bring sickness on you. You'll be whole and complete. The outside then will be reflecting what's on the inside. Right now, what I've been telling you all morning is the outside right now doesn't reflect what's on the inside. The outside doesn't reflect that you've got the Holy Ghost. It's the inside that you've got to look at. And then know and have the assurance by looking on the inside, yes, I've got it. Why? Because something changed me.
Amen.
By faith, Israel knew he was back there. He said, Brother Branham said, that was the great secret. See what I mean? He says, let me just find where I'm at here. He's talking about the triune being. And he says, it's not God's, but all three is one. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But we don't say gods. That's heathen. The Jew knows that. But when we can make it to him that Jesus is God, Jehovah's God, not a second or third person, it's the same person all the time making himself manifest. Then with signs and wonders to prove that Jesus has rose from the dead. The change that's happened in you is proof that Jesus rose from the dead.
Amen.
Why? Because there's been a resurrection in you.
Amen.
This is in the message of the resurrection. Brother Bram says, I believe that Jesus Christ is reincarnated in the flesh in the human church here on earth doing signs and wonders. Believest thou this? Peter said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Believest thou this? See, you don't get perfect and then get the Holy Ghost. Well, when I get good enough, then God will give me the Holy Ghost. No, that's not the way it works. You'll never be good enough because it's not your righteousness. Isaiah says our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. So it's not your righteousness. It's his righteousness. And when you get the Holy Ghost, it doesn't make you perfect. Because you're still inside this badger skin. You're still dealing with the human spirit. We're waiting, as I've described to you, the whole part about the body change. That's what we're waiting on. To be perfect. And that's why I said then, see, the perfection that you have is what's on the inside. God said to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Abraham lied. He said, She's my sister. It was what we call a little white lie, because she was his sister. They had the same father, just a different mother. But she was also his wife. So it was lying by omission. A lot of people don't think they lie, but they omit the truth. That's lying. But Abraham walked before him and was perfect. Because when that king went to take Sarah to be his wife, then God came to him in a dream and said, if you touch her, I'll kill you. And said, you're going to die unless you go down there and get that man to pray for you. So he had to go down there and get Abraham to pray for him so he wouldn't die. Oh my. You see how hid it is? In the prophet, Brother Branham, he walked around in old badger skin. Stinking badger skin. He got under pressure by the IRS. I'm going to tell you something, friends. If you ain't never been had any dealings with the IRS, you don't know what pressure is. He got under pressure by the IRS, and they called the house, and Meade answered the phone, and he knew who it was, and he said, tell them I'm not in here, and he stepped outside. Now, technically, he was not there, but it was still a lie because he had been there and could have took the call. And then right after that, he gets a call for some child that's sick. And he goes down there to pray for that child. And the angel of the Lord says, what does he say to him? Take your filthy hands off of her. Take your old stinking badger skin hands off of her. I'll say it that way. And he had to make that right. And then he could pray for that child. But what was it that made him make it right? It was the Holy Ghost that was on the inside of him. Checked him. And that's what made him made it right. When you missay something, or when you make a mistake, what is it that drives you to make it right? Something that's on the inside. Oh, friends, look, this flesh knows right from wrong. But this flesh is just like everybody else's flesh. It don't want to take responsibility for it. That's the problem with the world today. That's the problem with this generation coming up. They don't want to be responsible for their own actions. Blame it on somebody else. I'm this way because my daddy. I'm this way because of my grandpa. I'm this way because of that preacher. I'm this way because of this or that. How about you're that way because you wanted to be that way? How about you did it because you wanted to? Your flesh wanted it. Your flesh loved it. In your spirit, you wanted it. In your spirit, you could remember it. What was it the serpent worked on with Eve? He worked in her mind. Surely you'll not die.
And the Bible says when she looked upon it and seen that it was pleasant and desirable, then she wanted it. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. Because there's coming a season when all will have to answer. There's coming an end to that season when all will have to answer. This is in the message of calling of Abraham. Now, what God did for us in Christ, God manifested in the flesh. He took his own son up to Calvary. And when he killed his own son on Calvary's cross to make a covenant with the human race. And when he did, he nailed him to the cross, the dead sacrifice it was. Pulled out of him the Holy Spirit. Into thy hands I commend my spirit, Jesus said. Blood running from his side and his hands and feet. And God pulled the spirit out of him. Shoved the body down into the grave and raised it up on the third day and set it up on his right hand and sent the rest of the agreement back to the church, which was the same Holy Ghost that was upon Christ came upon the church. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. And the only way in the world we'll ever be able to make it at the day of judgment is for the same Holy Spirit that was upon Jesus Christ to have dovetailed as his wife through the body. He sent back the same Holy Ghost that was upon Christ to be on the church in a double portion. He says here when their eyes were open, he says, look, God was light. And then that light came down and was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then when Christ died, it went back into a light again, because when Paul was on the road to Damascus, a great light appeared before him and he said, Lord, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. That's what the light said. I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now, Brother Branham said, he's spirit, now called the Holy Spirit, the same God, the Father leading Moses, called God the Father, the three dispensations, fatherhood, sonship, and Holy Ghost. Now there's three offices of the same God. Tonight, his office is here on earth in his church as the Holy Ghost. God, the Holy Ghost, the same God that was in Jesus is in you. Now, Brother Branham was talking to people here that were walking around in old badger skins. He was talking to people like you and I, people that are full of mistakes. But he said, the same God that was in Jesus is in you. When he came, remember when Philip went to Nathanael and said, come see, we found the Messiah. And Nathanael said, what good can come out of Nazareth? He said, well, come and see. And so Nathanael comes down there, and Jesus sees him coming, beholds him. He says, behold an Israelite in whom there's no guile. And Nathanael says, truly, thou art the Son of God. And he said, when did you know me? He said, when, before Philip called you under the fig tree, I saw you. And he said, truly, you're the Son of God. And he said, because I said I saw you under a fig tree, greater than this shall you see. And Brother Branham goes on to say, this is in Will the Church Go Before the Tribulation, 1958. He said, But the unbelieving church members stood there, just as reverent and staunch as they certainly could be, and they were standing there with their great education, the great theological seminary experiences, and said, "This man is a fortune teller. He's Beelzebub." Jesus said, "You say that to me, I'll forgive you. But when the Holy Ghost has come and does the same thing, one word against it will never be forgiven in this world, neither the world to come." Now, that's not saying that people are going to go out and say something, "Well, the Holy Ghost is the devil." No. Who are they going to speak against? Where did the Holy Ghost go when it came? It went into God's people. So where are they going to speak against the Holy Ghost at? In God's people. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to close with this. This will be kind of maybe a lead-in, maybe. This is for next Sunday, as we'll still be ministering on this same thing. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, Paul writes, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Now, what is Paul referring to? He says, "As it is written." He's referring to Isaiah 52 and 7. And Isaiah 52 and 7 says, "How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publisheth peace, and bring good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." So, why is it saying how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel? Because it's the gospel that they're bringing, that's where the beauty's at.
Yeah, that's right.
The beauty's not the preacher, because the preacher is in badger skin just like you. The preacher has faults. The preacher makes mistakes. The preacher has failures because he's in badger skin just like you. But what's in him? The Holy Ghost is bringing the gospel. Remember when, stand, that way we know we're closing. Remember when Israel came to Samuel and said, "We want a king. We want to be like the other nations." And Samuel felt so rejected. Samuel felt so bad because God had been leading the people through him. But God, what did God say to Samuel? Said, "They're not rejecting you, Samuel." But they were. But he said, "They're not." He said, "They're rejecting me." How were they rejecting God? Because it was God in the prophet that was leading his people. That's how God chose. God did not choose for them to have a king. That was what the people wanted. They said to be like the other nations. God said he was their king. Samuel says, "If you have a king, he'll take your daughters. He'll take your sons and send them to battle."
So when you're being rejected, it's not them rejecting you. It's them rejecting the God that's in you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we thank you for being here in our midst, God. Thank you, Lord, for this word, for how that you're bringing this. Lord, truly there is a need. Truly there are questions. And Lord, I believe you're bringing the answers. And Lord, I look forward, Lord, to the further messages on these lines, dear God, to be a help. And Father, they're so simple. And they're things that many of the things that are being said are things we actually already know. But it's, you are just bringing it and putting it together, Lord. Truly, your word is beautiful. Lord, bless your people this morning. Lord, I pray, God, you know the needs of the people. Lord, you know their needs facing this coming week. I pray you'll minister to those needs. I pray, Lord, that you'll go with your people today. Bless them, dear God. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.